Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the SmackDown preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of Friday Night SmackDown. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, where we're not going to review SmackDown, but also Monday Night Raw, the show formerly known as NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a really good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamflett to look ahead to SmackDown tonight. And it's starting to feel like I say this almost every week, but this is the most I've looked forward to SmackDown since, last Friday. because, of course, this is the show that promises more fallout from the events of the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, because normally we would use fallout a little bit cheekily, like WWE, especially with the Raw after a premium live event, but often with the SmackDown lately, and certainly loads under Vince. Fallout was a little bit of a shortcut of, well, things happened at a premium live event, so theoretically, things have to happen as a result of the things that happened. Mm. Who knows what they could be? Whereas this one is possibly the greatest things have got to happen fallout preview ever.
Ever?
Mm. Because that was one of the, well, why steal from the man himself? Would you consider this angle from Saturday one of the...
I think genuinely, I was going to do a gimmick there, and the greatest story, I think it's genuinely possibly WWE's best storyline this century.
So not even an ever, this century.
This century, I mean, you know...
3 years. On a decade, sorry. 23 years, that's still quite a lot, actually. I wouldn't disagree. Give me some more time on that. I've said straight away, felt like a personal top five straight away. I didn't need to give that thought.
I think the thing is with it, and I've listened to other people within the, you know, talking about this storyline.
Yeah.
And I don't know another WWE storyline. Yeah, this century. Attitude Era was what it was. Mm-hmm. I grew up watching The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin and loved every second of it.
Yeah.
Even WrestleMania 19 for me, because Rock got his win back, so. I know he's meant to be a baddie, but Stone Cold's always a baddie in my eyes because The Rock actually puts people over. Anyway, what are we talking about? Oh, yeah. So, I don't know a storyline that WWE's done that's been long-term, first mm-hmm. of all, that has got so many people talking, like mates of mine who I've said, who I always say, oh, you need to watch this.
Yeah.
And they go, right, yeah, I watched it. And yeah, cool, see you at WrestleMania sort of thing. They get into watching it around this time of year. I text numerous casuals and said, first of all, you need to watch the trial of Sami Zayn. And then that'll kind of bring you up to speed. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are kind of already aware of this.
Has clips within it.
Yeah.
So it's quite new.
And then you need to watch what happens at the Royal Rumble, because I've never heard, well, I certainly for a long time haven't heard a noise like it.
It was a pop that, in terms of the specificity of the pop, I would describe as louder than a late goal or whatever, late touchdown
for
American listeners, late home run in a stadium in real sport. Now, we've talked about how wrestling is magic and is better than real sport, actually, because you get both. You can have the action, comedy, romance, drama that comes with entertainment, but you can curate mm. the magic of a sporting moment, a late winner, whatever. And it's almost a crime that there isn't so much more of this, considering that you have the keys to the universe. To get that, But to get it in a venue so big where wrestling has historically had an issue with noise sort of disappearing, even the loud reactions, some of the noise often disappears upwards. And I know, you know, ones with roofs that can bounce back down and they're...
After a 4.5 hour show as well.
A tired audience, that was, you know, which I think evidence was starting to show within the body of the Owens-Reigns match itself. You could still feel the exhaustion a little bit before it all came back around. So yeah, that noise, that replicated, if not defeated, some of the most piercing, like, actual sporting moment, guttural, visceral roars that I've ever been a part of or seen on, heard on television. And I'm looking forward, we're going to go into a deeper discussion on this and what sort of happens, not just on this SmackDown, but going forward. That'll be dropping over the weekend, wherever you get your podcast. So we'll try not to tread on those toes. But also, I will just say for this SmackDown tonight, I think it's not giving WWE a free pass here, but it almost behooves WWE to, like, tread quite lightly with this storyline. If you think about what happened to every wrestler in that storyline on Saturday, it almost makes sense for them not to be here. I feel like I'm giving WWE an out and I don't want to.
I agree.
Roman Reigns.
Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn should not be on this show.
Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn definitely shouldn't. Owens, I don't think, should appear until, I don't know, hypothetically, a premium live event in Montreal in 3 weeks' time. Sami Zayn should recover physically quicker and will probably want, this almost sounds too normal, but will now be able to bravely... look, like, request, what is it? What's that sort of, I like, when somebody wants a duel, like, request vindication or something like that. He's going to, like, he's going to throw the challenge out as a result of being the one beaten down by Roman Reigns. Bravely so as well. But Roman Reigns has had to go away from Saturday and, like, actually scratch his head and be like, that mother just hit me with a steel chair. I'm so angry. I think I need a dick swinging holiday in the Island of Relevancy to center myself as the tribal chief. Meanwhile, Jimmy Uso, Solo Sikoa, and possibly Paul Heyman need to kind of pick up the pieces of the fact that Jey Uso has publicly disavowed the bloodline at the Royal Rumble and then further on Instagram. So he has now stepped away completely. So there's almost a narrative reason to say, well, we're going to play what happened on Saturday's premium live event as a way to explain why all of the key players are not yet fully on terms with what went. It was that big and that seismic. There is something to say that you sell the size of it by not having them appear. I don't know if that is alienating or it will make people feel, if people have been on the hook after the Rumble, you know, we heard about those massive numbers that tuned in. WWE's TV numbers lately have been out their ass.
Yeah.
So you almost don't want to burn them by looking like you're kind of baiting and switching them. But they've not promoted Sami Zayn in-person appearance, have they not?
They just teased on the little video they put on .com. It was, just fallout from the Royal Rumble.
Like, they're not saying Sami Zayn speaks tonight. I think if they just pitch it correctly and they don't, if it's not too much of a tonal shift and it's not too much of that WWE thing of like, yeah, we're going to get out next week. Like, I think they could honestly sell the gravity.
Yes.
And then maybe halfway through SmackDown, find a nice way to say, we've got word that Jey Uso, maybe he's the guy to focus on first. Jey Uso wants the floor next week on SmackDown.
Yeah.
And then you've got a week to think about what might happen.
The difficulty is you want to sell the magnitude of it, but also, like you say, you've got a premium live event in three weeks.
Like, a big one to get to. Like, that's Montreal. We think we know where that might be going, and you haven't got ages to sell that.
This is the thing. This is what I was going to say. So I can't think of a storyline that's been, like I say, so well plotted out from, what, before SummerSlam?
Yeah, June, July, I would... people are differing on this. There's some nice content out there about how much you want to think about the storyline. I love all of the bloodline in this, but I was, well, you were with me over WrestleMania weekend. I couldn't have given less of a toss about this angle really until Sami Zayn stepped into it. But I don't like this idea that, like, Zayn's been the only good one in it. I genuinely think when Roman Reigns took that part-time deal after WrestleMania, he was thinking with one foot out the door.
Yeah.
I still think he is one foot out the door, but I think this story has energized him as a performer again.
Absolutely.
And I think we've seen more of him on television than he imagined doing. I think he's worked more than he imagined doing. When he was like, remember he was going around towns and saying, this might be the last time I see you?
Yeah.
And I don't think he was lying.
Part-time champion. Cody Rhodes are going to come and take all the simple stuff.
He was ready for that Brock Lesnar deal and it was all good. And I genuinely think this angle specifically has energized him and indeed everybody that's involved with it.
And I think the thing is, I can't think of something so well plotted, that's so over, that's so talked about. And, you know, we were lucky enough to be there at WrestleMania 35 with the Kofi Mania story and Becky Lynch, that road of hers from Survivor Series all the way through to
iconic
WrestleMania.
Iconics winning the tag belts. All the big three of that show. Yeah.
But those storylines, as great as they were, I think if you'd have asked a lot of people on February 3rd, as we are now.
Yeah.
I mean, the Kofi one was later, obviously, but you know what I mean. How do you think they're going to play out? I think a lot of people, I probably would have booked the Becky thing better, but would have said it goes this, this, and this.
Yeah.
So, like, even if you take Kofi from after Elimination Chamber, you go, yeah, he finds his way into a WWE Championship match and he wins the big one.
Well, the miracle story was Daniel rumored Bryan. To be Mustafa Ali, wasn't it?
Yes,
so
exactly.
So they could have done that. It's like, oh my goodness, like out of nowhere, Tim.
Becky Lynch, main event WrestleMania, first ever women's match to main event WrestleMania, and she wins the title from Ronda Rousey. This, no one has come out and said, here's the storyline, and everyone goes, yep, that's it. It's so, there's so many options in front of you. And I don't know what the right one is. But through what we've seen, and think about what I'm about to say here, I have faith with what has come before that WWE will pick the best version of this ending to a saga.
I think it is the single most important thing that WWE could have done with this storyline, and it is the one thing that I think Triple H himself, because he's starting to take some hits now based on the things that have gone wrong. He's been in the job long enough. Yeah. We've seen some of his failings.
And you said this would be the moment that he gets judged.
Yeah, I think this is the biggest credit that I can afford him, because this is either a team effort or not. But yeah, if you're going to criticize Triple H for the bad stuff, you can give him credit for the good as well. And like, this is the best thing going. And like, it's so rewarding every time. It's the one story in WWE that I can apply that AEW maxim to, where when AEW is firing, I mean, it's very good at the moment, but it's really firing. You are encouraged to fantasy book six different things because things are so layered, and then they hit you with a surprise seventh.
Exactly.
And that's the level we've reached with the Bloodline, I would say.
And I think the fact that they're going into minute detail, we all knew it was going to be Sammy with the Bloodline, involved in one way or another, costing his mate the title.
They folded Owens in on like Raw backstage appearances last summer, and that's when we were allowed to start thinking.
And then we're going to have the split from the Bloodline, and then something will happen at Elimination Chamber, and maybe something will happen at WrestleMania as well. But even just the tiniest thing of, it's not the Bloodline turning on Sammy, it's Sammy getting Roman after the trial. He's not an idiot.
Yeah.
He knows his days are numbered, and he decides, no, this is the hill I'm going to die on. Mm-hmm. You've taken it too far there. But also, just a beautiful nuance of not, I'm going to twat Roman, and then I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to twat Solo and Jimmy, and I'm going to fight them all off.
Yeah.
He hits Roman once, and he goes, I'm sorry, guys. I know I'm going to have to take my licks now, but I had to do it. And the Jey Uso, I mean, I can't give enough credit for the way that they have made this into such a world. It's not just Sammy versus Roman. It's how does Jey fit into all this? How does Kevin Owens fit into all this? Do we still do just a tag title match for the Usos and Owens and Zayn? How does Cody factor into all this? Mm-hmm. Do you split the titles? What's going to happen in Canada with the Elimination Chamber?
It's a brilliant preview for our pod, isn't it? People should listen in. We'll get our deep dive on this. There's so many, and this is it. We're saying all of this, none of it to be touched on SmackDown tonight. I know that feels like ripping people off, but honestly, I think there is so much, like, leave the big questions unanswered.
Faith that this will be executed well.
Faith and trust, like, it's counts double, than one good angle. The faith and the trust matters more.
It's, if you're watching Breaking Bad or whatever it may be, if you're watching a TV show and it has 10 episodes, you don't go on episode 5, go, basically, this is what happens, this is finale. You go, okay, this was maybe a bit of a housekeeping episode, but it's all right, because we've got 4 more episodes before, and then the finale is where we get the big blow off of all the storylines that are converging together.
I'll just say this on the Rumble angle specifically, and I guess the wider point of the Bloodline story. I know that if we comment on the commentary about the story rather than the story itself, it's maybe missing the point. I've really liked this angle, and you have too, and like Cedric has, and everybody has. It's the Bloodline. It's really great. But I did see over Rumble weekend, I think like a gut reaction of certain people who are so burned by WWE or hate the product, hate WWE in general. And I get that, right? I'm not here to, like, I know we have jokes about like being marks for different promotions, but I'm certainly not here to like wave a flag to force you to like a thing. Like I like to think, like, one of the reasons a lot of people listen to us is because we will earnestly like what we like, even if it pisses you, the listener, off sometimes. But I will say for this, I think this is so good. I feel like it's not rattled people. People are so confused by the level of support this is getting, because it cannot possibly be that a WWE story can be this good. That is the opposite of the faith and trust. It's like 20 years of burnt fingers. And like,
me and you watching Sasha and Bailey every week and going, they're still doing this.
Yeah, please don't F it up. Please don't F it up.
The opposite of that, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the difference. You don't go into this WWE stuff and go, please don't F it up. You're like, I can't wait to see what they do next. And I think that specifically is what's like, not broken the brains of some fans, but just, it's almost like they're reluctant to, like, I will never love again.
Yeah.
Me and you, a couple of idiots. I'm ready to love again. It's been 2 weeks. Like, it's just like, WWE will be beneficiaries of that from a lot of people, but some people just will not love again. And yet there are other people saying, I think actually you might want to love here because if you haven't yet got on, here's the Rumble as the entry point. Get on now.
In the words of Scott Steiner, the numbers don't lie.
Yeah, this is the time to get on. And the thing is as well, it's if it disappoints at the end, so what?
Yeah.
Like, honestly, so what? The journey has been that much fun at this point that if they screw this up,
we'll always have the Rumble.
Yeah, a bunch of people will be now, not waiting with their knives out, but just waiting to be like, well, it's WWE, they're not going to be able to stick the landing there. The Cody thing is going to... Loads of concern over the Cody thing. Like, sod that. Like, I think everything... Like, this is going to sound like blank optimism. I think everything is going to be absolutely fine. The whole thing is going to rule, right? I may be proven a stupid idiot for having that much faith in it. But at this point, after how good the Rumble was, I would rather be on that side than the ones nervously waiting for it to go wrong or sitting there and chin stroking and going like, I don't know, man. Like, I think the bigger discussion is over. Like, if Cody can really get to Sammy's level, like, I don't want to.
I'm really concerned going into the Rumble. How are you going to do this? Is Cody going to get booed?
I don't really want to engage
Sammy
in that.
Is going to be in the Rumble? If Sammy's not in the Rumble, why am I still the number 30 entrant? And it was fine.
Yeah, I just, I'd rather be called stupid the day after WrestleMania for getting this one wrong than kind of sitting with my arms folded, waiting for something to fall apart. In this case, I would have gotten it previously, but not in this one.
What's the phrase? Better to have loved than lost, never love at all.
Yeah. That's. I was going to say that was like very sort of like deep and poetic, but then the bloodline is cinema. So Oscar worthy.
And the other thing I like about this is so many times you go, everything else in WWE is terrible, but there's one diamond. And they're not paying any attention. They're just hoying other people out there. And there's an argument for certain aspects of the show. I think you're right. But they're also doing stuff in the background because you've got all this going on. Sammy, Roman, the Usos, the tag team champions, worrying about what's going on with all this. Meanwhile, there's a tag team tournament going on, the final of which is tonight. Like, lads, I get it. You're worried about your family and your, you know, faction and what have you. You should be worried about who's coming for those belts.
Look how close Dominic Mysterio came. Dominic Mysterio. Look at what nearly happened if it wasn't for Sammy, obviously. But, like, look how close the Judgment Day got, and you're in that situation again in 2 weeks' time. Yeah.
It's Imperium versus Braun Strowman and Ricochet. We know how great Imperium are, but I really like the pairing of Braun and Ricochet, even if it started as, oh, you don't like the floppy floppers or whatever it is. Well, how about you tag with the floppiest of them all?
I just think they've done... I know, like, last week, this is going to sound very generous because Braun and Ricochet weren't even in the tournament until 7 days ago, right? But I like that they were formed kind of out of the last tournament, which Ricochet won. So he's now got tournament winning lore. So there's a little bit of LTST should Braun and Ricochet go on to win, even though they kind of backdoor the way in the final. Triple H kind of book baby fists. Like, they've just snuck their way into the final. He snuck his way into life. So he thinks that's the baby face. He thinks his entire route through life has been the baby face one, which is why he supplants that on other people. There's a lingering thing with Braun and Imperium from when he was battering them and chasing off Gunther. So I don't hate how we've arrived at this final. As a result, I think if and when Braun and Ricochet win, and I think they might.
I agree.
I think there will just be some people that will just be like, well, you didn't even wrestle the whole tournament. It's Gunther and Cody from the Rumble. Like, that heel babyface dynamic worked because the wrestlers were good, not because the story fed it. Gunther's just gone like 70 minutes, mate. He's up. But like, he's presented as a heel and he's, you know. So this is just how kind of Triple H does it. I think the match will be great. Got a lot of faith in the chemistry of these two teams working out just fine, thanks very much. Previously I think I would have been quite interested in Imperium and the Usos because prior to the Rumble, the Usos were fantastic situational babyfaces as they were against the Judgment Day. We've sort of gone past that now. Like, Jey Uso's left the bloodline, but he can't leave the Usos, nor can he leave the tag titles, but it could put the Usos in a state of confusion.
And if you want to make sure the team's a heel team facing Braun Strowman and Ricochet, you've established the Freebird rule, Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso defending the tag titles.
Oh my God, that's really inspired. That's the way to do it, because Sami Zayn can't anymore. But just, oh my God, you've unlocked something there, Will Bourne. Because Postman...
Hey, just call me butter, baby. I'm on a roll.
Because you know how Postman Pierce allowed that role to play because he benefited the Judgment Day. He can do that for the Bloodline because he's put Ricochet and Braun in the tournament in the first place.
Yeah.
I had to give them a shot unexpectedly, so I've got to give you one too. Solo, Jimmy, you tick. Oh my God. So in 2 weeks' time, we're getting Solo. Well, a week on Friday, we're getting Solo and Jimmy versus Braun and Ricochet, which we can preview then. But yeah, Braun and Ricochet winning the tournament as a result. Adam Wilbon fixed it. Tick, tick, tick.
Oh my God.
Enough said.
Very good.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Moving on, there is also, now this is where I'm going to have some fun, a SmackDown Women's Championship match on tonight's show.
Oh, God.
The current champion is Charlotte Flair. Uh-huh. And Rhea Ripley has literally said, I'm facing Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania. So who do you think leaves as SmackDown Women's Champion in Charlotte Flair versus Sonya Deville?
You flagging this up on the Raw review was fantastic. Like, I had issues unrelated to this with Rhea Ripley picking Charlotte Flair and what I thought was maybe happening behind the scenes. But WWE have tried to attach a bit of LTST to this about Rhea Ripley feeling like it's not just about winning the title, it's about proving that I am what I wasn't 3 years ago, the whole deal. Why not? Why not? And then this. And then you just drop that in. I wonder how Sonya Deville feels right now. Like, they've literally put the graphic up for WrestleMania.
Yep.
Is this a, man, this is really going to piss people off for a week, and then Sonya Deville wins the belt. Huge twist. And Rhea Ripley goes, that wasn't my story. Bianca Belair is.
Or there is an alternative here, right? Because I don't know how people are going to receive Charlotte and Rhea at WrestleMania. Well, I know how people are going to receive Rhea, but whether or not they're going to love her so much, a bit like Roman, they go, I love you, and I know you're meant to be a baddie, and therefore I'm going to boo
you. Engaging with who you are, yeah.
Or whether they just go, no, it's Rhea's time. You've done this to her before on the big stage against Charlotte. She's got to win the big one, right? There is a way, because we've said, Charlotte Flair is one of the most talented female wrestlers ever, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I had my eyes opened in, what was it,
2018. She was just, like, she was the one credited with kind of having every main roster women's best match.
I remember I'd been working at What Culture for about a year.
5 years ago, it feels like 10.
God. I've been working at What Culture for about a year, and I was just like, bloody Charlotte Flair. They're forcing her down our throats. And whoever it was in the office or on the internet or whatever was like, anyone else noticed that she's literally had everyone's best match?
Yeah.
And you suddenly go, right, now I get it. Like, they are doing the typical WWE, like this thing, force it down your throat as they used to do. But that is not the Charlotte Flair we're seeing right now. But so what I was going to say is, right now, it's babyface Charlotte Flair, heel Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania, right? And Rhea Ripley's character is not going to change between now and WrestleMania. But Charlotte Flair, there is a storyline they can tell. I don't think they're going to do it. I think Charlotte Flair is going to make short work of Sonya Deville, who, despite our adoration for her, this just isn't the time for her to win a SmackDown Women's Championship. But there is a story you potentially could tell instead, if you really want to go out there, where Sonya, like you say, flukes it, whatever it may be, however you want to do that, and it's Charlotte who has to try and get the title back by the time WrestleMania rolls around. And she suddenly realizes, maybe the first match back, Sonya goes, oh, I'm in real trouble. I'm in the figure eight. I'm going to punch the referee and get DQ'd or whatever.
Ooh.
And then Charlotte's like, no, no, this is my last chance. This is my last chance. And in that match, there's a ref bump. And Charlotte goes, look, I need to get to WrestleMania and I want to face Rhea Ripley again. So I'm going to cut a corner, turn a bit heel. I don't know. I don't know if that muddies the waters a bit too much.
So I don't hate that because again, like, you know, Triple H deserves some flowers, but not all of them. I could well see him thinking Tuesday morning, that graphic being out there is going to be great because when we turn that upside down on Friday, that's going to be a major talking point. That's going to be, this changes everything. Deville gets slotted into that WrestleMania graphic and people go, what?
And you know, another like triple threat with Charlotte Flair getting chucked in.
There is suddenly quite a lot of conversation around that match if they were to do this. And as you say, there is time for Charlotte Flair to have that sort of long road back. And then you actually get the benefit of testing if people would like Sonya Deville in that match. And it's like you potentially get somebody over as like, you know what, there was more support behind her than we realised. It shouldn't be that way, you know, like...
Woman, you got the first potential opponent for...
Yeah.
Because everyone knows you don't lose the title immediately after WrestleMania.
It should be woman makes the belt, not belt makes the woman. That's always been the case. But if Sonya Deville with that belt clicks more than they realise, they've established something else there. You're right, Charlotte getting it back then could create a kind of vacuum effect where like, oh, she's an even bigger heel than she was in January. Now we're really knackered. But it's something to do on television in a while. I think it would create the conversation. I think Charlotte's winning.
Yeah.
But I don't hate that. Should that have been the motivation for this? Yeah. Like, maybe they have... Like, because what it looks like is that... Did you thick bastards forget you'd booked this match?
Yes.
Because we're so used to WWE being a thick bastard company.
Exactly.
Sometimes it's not. What have we just spent 20 minutes talking about? So that's where that knock-on of the faith and the trust like has a trickle-down effect.
But you and I are...
Unlike trickle-down economics, that kind of works.
You and I are fans of WWE, and we have been for a couple of decades at least, right? So you and I are more...
32 stupid years.
Yeah, sorry. Despite all that, we are maybe more open than Murray or a Sidgwick, for example, to say, oh, no, there's still something good's coming. Don't worry.
The pig is still in the air.
Exactly. It's still good. It's still good. But with what they've done with this Sami Zayn storyline, I can now extrapolate, I don't know, there's something going on there.
Mm-hmm.
So that even, it's probably going to be a 5-minute, you know, figure eight. Oh, there we go.
Yep.
That was easy.
I really think it might be.
But... Because of what they've done in other storylines, the faith that they've generated within WWE, there may be a pinfall in this that I go, oh my God,
they're
doing what we suggested.
I just don't want the match to stink as well. Charlotte Flair's been rotten since she's come back.
Yeah, so. I agree.
And that's a bigger problem, by the way. I'm not just being critical for critical sake. If you're presenting this person as like Charlotte Flair is goated, might as well be their strap line for her at this point. And if she's just having absolute stinkers every week and you get like a 5-minute spell from a Roxanne Perez at 21 in the Royal Rumble, who is just looks 10 times the wrestler your supposed top star is, you're going to run into trouble. What are you cooking?
I'm working on something along the lines of Charlotte Flair is goated. So a baby goat's called a kid, or is there a nanny goat? Is that a thing?
That sounds like it's a thing.
Like,
yeah.
So you could have at WrestleMania, join us. It's going to be Cody Rhodes Roman's for all the belts and what have you. And also on Saturday night, it's Nanny versus Mummy. Right, okay.
Mummy and her kid.
Exactly, there's something there.
This doesn't have to be. That's us inserting our goated nonsense on it.
WWE. We're going to do some silly bollocks in a minute.
Okay.
We're going to talk about Uncle Howdy. We're going to talk about someone else who showed up on Saturday night. But we didn't get a chance to talk about what happened on last week's SmackDown, because obviously we were just talking about the fallout from the Royal Rumble, right? One of the things I meant to mention earlier, by the way, Giovanni Vinci's top rope slam thing.
Oh my God.
But I don't want to talk to you about that. I want to genuinely get a bit serious here.
Okay.
Because I want to talk about, it wasn't really talked about following the Royal Rumble.
No.
But all I could see on social media on Saturday was people talking about Lacey Evans.
Yes.
And what happened with her on SmackDown. You know, I want to know your thoughts on what's next for her. They've obviously brought her back and reestablished her as this character.
Yeah.
With the camel clutch and what have you. But yeah, I thought you're the best person. I saw you tweeting about this on Saturday to talk about what happened with Lacey. So the floor is yours. What did you make of everything?
Well, the people who follow me because they picked the wrong Dudley boy will forgive me because I have tweeted this. Lacey Evans on Friday, for those that didn't watch or it got lost or whatever, was coming out of the ring in this new heel persona she's got. And like a million wrestlers have done in the past, the thing where you put the hand out for a fan to slap it and then you pull it away. It's like everything from the old Ric Flair to Britt Baker doing it on Dark last week. It's, you see it all the time. You know the thing. And she did it to a fan who was front row who had Down syndrome. And the visual signifiers of having Down syndrome as well. And she pulled it away and instantly, it seemed, this clip was everywhere. And it was a strike against Lacey Evans for it being kind of unacceptable. There is, you know, people like kind of saying there's heel shtick and then there's this, basically. Mm. That was the tone of it. A lot of it was angrier and a lot of it was sort of furious with how that reflected on her and how it came across. And what, so my thing with this was, for anybody that listens to this that doesn't know, my son has Down syndrome and I am, I guess, like, no more to speak on it than anybody else. Anyone can have their opinion,
yes,
is what
exactly.
I'm saying. But I suppose, like, it was very, a few people through the DMs reached out to me rather than doing it over Twitter, which I did understand why, but just were kind of like, oh my, like there was a various spectrum of opinions of, oh, this is terrible. Like there was a couple of, I hope you're okay, which I thought was really sweet, by the way. Yeah. I won't name those people, but there was just, there was like a varying different things for people that have listened or know or follow me on Twitter or anything like that. And I just, I don't know, like I thought this is actually better having this conversation public because if people wanted to know my thoughts, let's have it out. And I guess that's what we're doing here.
Yeah.
So what happened, I think, was that people conflated what Lacey Evans did, which was old-fashioned, million-year-old heel shtick.
That she's done before as well.
Yeah. And the fan just happened to be a fan with Down syndrome, with some abhorrent remarks yes. she's made about yes. autism, another disability, right? Another learning difficulty. There's a number of different ways that autism can be classified. I think, I forget her full name, so I'm just going to say Macy to keep this easy. I think Macy, the real person, has got some terrible, terrible views on autism based on the things that she has shared and liked on social media.
I agree.
In the past, not on. As a result, I believe that people have conflated what she did on SmackDown with that and have kind of assumed that both, well, not even Lacey Evans, the character, have just assumed that this woman has some ableist views and was able to flex them on a television show while portraying a character. I think that's what's happened. You know, it's like, it's a terrible look for the, it would have been bad enough anyway, but a person that's already made these views clear, yes, it's yeah. even worse. There's two, I have two schools of thought on that specifically. Number one, speaking as a parent of a son with Down syndrome, I don't think it would have been bad enough anyway. I think that would have been absolutely fair game. My son isn't a wrestling fan, he's got better taste. But if he was a wrestling fan and I took him to a show, and that occurred, as his dad, as his primary carer, or if his mum was with him, you know, we would do what we always do in life with him and just try and apply the most context we possibly can, which, by the way, you would do with your neurotypical child. I'm speaking to other parents who are listening yes. to this podcast who would say the exact same thing about their neurotypical children. Every child needs guidance about what is and what isn't, in, about the world around them. That's fairly, like, normal parenting, mm-hmm. I think. So that would be the case there. I would explain, like, oh, that wasn't very nice, was it, Charlie? Boo her, and she's a villain, so that is in keeping with yes. the experience we have paid to have. Furthermore, I saw Kevin Owens, a babyface, giving his T-shirt to that fan at the end of the night. Now, I don't think that was some sort of, oh, that wasn't on, you have my T-shirt. I think that was a babyface doing a babyface gesture
exactly.
to her. How often have we seen babyfaces give their things to the kids, right? So that young fan has had the WWE experience. The pantomime villain has been a pantomime villain. Boo! The babyface has been the babyface. Cheer. Oh my God, free T-shirt. Thank you so much. And I would like to think his carers, his parents, whomever, have contextualized that in a way that they will know because mm-hmm. that family unit, it's all, there's no, and this is why I feel a bit uncomfortable because like, I've got a son with Down syndrome, but he's not the same as that kid with
no,
Down
exactly.
syndrome. It's the normal you want more than anything else. As a parent, I want the most normal experience, normal in inverted commas, my son can have mm-hmm. throughout his life. I don't, want him, I want people to be understanding and patient and kind, but I don't want exceptions to be made. For example, say if my son is a dickhead. Say if I bring Charlie around to your house and he hoofs you in the shin. Like, you're allowed to be like, hey, Hansel, have a word. Like, he's just smashed me in the shin for no reason.
You'd never do that to Uncle Adam. But
yeah. Well, he wouldn't. But like, but kids can be arseholes sometimes, right? And so my son. This is probably not the best example to use, but it's always one that sticks out to me. And again, I'm just one dad, just one parent. There's a Family Guy episode where Chris goes out with a girl who's got Down syndrome. For a start, I quite admire the representation of it. Family Guy is an imperfect example, so mm-hmm. I'm not flying the flag. I'm just saying there's an episode where Chris, the character, goes out with a girl who's got Down syndrome and breaks up with her because she's kind of an arsehole to him. And I quite admired that the story they chose to tell was that, oh, people with disabilities can be dickheads too.
Yes.
I'm not calling this fan in the crowd a dickhead. What I am saying is that they will probably have wanted the most normalised experience. Ergo, I don't think Lacey Evans, the character, got that wrong. However, let's not pretend that Macy's dodgy views on autism didn't occur too.
This is the thing, isn't it? If
have I got all that right? Like, I don't know. Like, again, like, feedback to me, please. Like, genuinely, there was people that DM'd me last week, and it didn't after the tweet, so I'm hoping that meant the tweets just addressed it. If you listen to this today and you have additional views, I do not speak for everybody. I speak for me that has lived, at the moment, 10 years of this and is kind of learning as I go.
Yeah, I agree. I just thought I wanted to give you the time to talk about this because I thought it was really interesting what you said about it. And like you say, everyone's welcome to their own views and perspective on all this. But just as an example, I think, and this is just pulling a name out of anywhere, and to be honest, I don't know about their views outside of their character, aside from their views on steak randomly. But if Baron Corbin had done this, just as an example.
Another heel.
I just think it would have been, you're right. I think it's the thing is it's the person behind the performer.
Yeah.
But it was a really interesting conversation, I thought.
I just would imagine this week Lacey Evans will do that again and that'll become like part of it. Maybe she won't. Maybe they'll just drop it like cold just in case. But I just feel like she had that all that heel stick in a locker regardless, and I think we'll get more of that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's some sort of defining characteristic that we're suddenly supposed to be looking for every week.
And I think, there is an argument to be made that it's a bit patronizing to be like, heel, oh, here's someone.
Yeah.
But I have to change my attitude towards them because they won't get it.
It's really, and the thing is, right, it's what I like about conversations like this, not to get too heavy on the SmackDown preview, but what I really like about this is I've learned about disability more since it's become part of my life. I can't pretend to have known a ton before my son was born beyond, say, other family or friends who might have like had disability as a part of their life, you know, whether they were carers or whether they had disabilities of their own. But it's, I think, the most helpful thing, if I can like try and boil this down, and you never can, which is the irony, if I can boil this down, is that there is never one case the same. So if you were a parent of a son or a daughter with a disability and you watch this, be offended. Do you know what I mean? Like, because you would apply how your own child would cope with that, and that might, you might find that like really hurtful or heartbreaking. But I would just say that, I would say this is, if nothing else, there is never one disability the same. And for Lacey Evans in this case to treat a fan the same as she would a neurotypical fan, I think speaks, I don't know, I think it speaks to her trying to normalise disability on a TV show. I wish it wasn't the wrestler that had said some pretty awful things about autism, because I think if I had a child that had autism, I think I'd struggle to even watch her on television.
Yeah.
If I knew of a wrestler that had some pretty caustic views on people with Down syndrome, I don't think I'd be able to suspend my disbelief.
No.
Do you know what I mean? So like, I, from the people who've got autism or the people who look after people with autism, I think I would struggle to be able to distance the two. But as somebody that can, my take anyway.
Fascinating. Thank you.
If I've completely missed the mark, please kindly let me know on Twitter and we'll we'll continue the conversation there.
Right. Switching gears now.
Let's to this guy.
Uncle Howdy's Road to WrestleMania. Obviously, the match of the night was the Mountain Dew Pitch Black match at the Royal Rumble. LA Knight.
Yeah. Gear of the year so far.
Could be.
Dressing for the occasion.
Despite exploding glow-in-the-dark confetti when he put Bray Wyatt through a table, unfortunately, LA Knight came up a little short and then was hit. Well, was someone who did an elbow drop relatively near LA Knight, that man being Uncle Howdy, after Bray Wyatt had won the match. What's next for Uncle Howdy and Bray Wyatt? LA Knight deserves the world, but what do you reckon's next for those two?
What a loaded question, man. Here's me for the last 6 months campaigning for CM Punk's return to wrestling when, based on that elbow, apparently he already has done and he's Uncle Howdy. Jesus Christ, what a spectacle. I want to, can we have a minute on the Mountain Dew Pitch Black match? Because I haven't really, there's no rumble review. That's one of my favourite aesthetics in wrestling ever, and not just because I really like Mountain Dew. I love those luminous ropes. This looked like WWF Attitude on the PlayStation 1's creation suite when you could just go too far. And as a kid, it was like, I want that. Are you sure you want pink posts with green ropes? Yes, I do. And then you get it. I thought it looked amazing. I apologize to people in the building because I don't imagine you could see very much. But on telly, it looked incredible. Nick Khan went on the investor call yesterday and said, yeah, we're probably going to do that more. Great. Slap that all over the ring because this is WWE. Like, I don't, for this like 3.5, 5 minutes, I don't need to take this credible. And thankfully, you've invited me to never take Bray Wyatt credibly ever again. And we were right all along again.
Yeah.
I got a little bit of blowback for sharing an article that I'd wrote 6 years earlier, saying that Bray Wyatt was WWE's worst modern creation, and think of the 6 years since that article, right? So it's nice to be right. I'm just saying, like, throw him into this stuff all the time. If they've got a sponsorship deal with Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yeah, I saw that.
As was rumored. I think it's just because people came up with the funniest brand. By the way, if they have, like, get in touch with me, because I'll promote that every single week. Like, just me eating cereal mukbang for whatever Bray Wyatt does on SmackDown. Yeah. Sign me up. But Bray Wyatt and Uncle Howdy is stupid. I think Bray Wyatt knows his work is garbage. I'm going to stick my neck out here. I think he's gnashed his entire Bray Wyatt gimmick. And I can't think, like, that's the ultimate compliment for me. I think he has returned. Triple H sat him down. This doesn't work, but Christ almighty, people pay for it.
Well, top four merch sellers is Roman, Sammy, Cody, Bray. Yeah. Not in no particular order.
People that buy into you in their numbers. So what we're going to do is, instead of trying to make you credible, because that failed like 10 times minimum, I read a list on What Culture about it, by a guy that's almost as handsome as Gunther. we're not going to do that anymore. You're going to be like that Mountain Dew match has made so much goddamn money for this company. I know this isn't like a financial like analysis podcast.
It doesn't affect us in any way.
No, but like from their point of view, they would have seen the Mountain Dew pitchback match as a glowing, no pun intended, success. Bray Wyatt can be that guy over and over again. Those frigging puppets playing the gallery to Uncle Howdy's. Don't tell me that like this is a character they're taking seriously. And Bray has to know. Like, he's got eyes. Like, he has to have seen. He was stood there. He knows how stupid this looks.
5 minute match. That was it.
If I'm him, I'm happy to be back. I'm taking hardly any bumps and I'm making bank for doing nout. I think he's in on it, right? So I think stupid, all the way to WrestleMania. I'm thinking Bray Wyatt and Uncle Howdy in a tag match together, or Bray Wyatt versus Uncle Howdy, like for the Firefly Funhouse Derby. Alexa Bliss has to pick.
Yeah.
Like, something along those lines, like, lean in.
They're enjoying it. Alexa Bliss loves all this.
Lean in, and I will too. They're all going to make a goddamn ton of money for doing as little as possible. And if I'm being explicitly told, as I think I was at the Royal Rumble, like, keep this separate from the actual show. Like, this is when DX were fighting the Brothers of Destruction. This is kind of not really part of it. This is just these silly idiots.
Sideshow, isn't it?
Farting around. It is a sideshow. LA Knight, on the other hand, was the closest this came to being credible. And let's talk about Karrion Kross for a second. Karrion Kross was brought in. Was brought in with a huge opportunity against Drew McIntyre. Didn't go great. Was 50-50'd. And then was given the ultimate babyface with which to try and start again. And then that match kind of blew. And Triple H didn't show... We talked about faith and trust. Didn't really show faith and trust in him by having him get beat. And then hide him in the Rumble for like 3 minutes. I think what we saw there is Triple H...
Well, watch this on Friday. Just to cut across you, sorry. Watched this on Friday and went, oh, that's a bit random that Ray's beating Karrion Kross. But never mind. On Saturday, he eliminates Ray after they've done some stuff with the Judgment Day.
Yeah.
All's good. Rey Mysterio doesn't show up. It's clearly the Judgment Day that attacked him backstage because his son's wearing the mask that he expertly rips apart.
He's gotten shoot hurt, which is another strike against Kross.
Yeah.
And you're just like, so the booking, the lack of momentum and an injury.
I've not heard anyone say, here's who Karrion Kross needs to face at WrestleMania.
Yeah, exactly right. Kross now is being positioned, like, they've decided, maybe not, but Triple H looks like he might have decided what he's got with Kross and what he hasn't. Conversely, LA Knight has taken the situation and has kind of fought here for something of significance in the road to. A singles match almost feels like a reach too far for the character, but I think he deserves it. And I hope tonight he gets, there's just a little tease of something that suggests that he's going to get, even if it's fluffy, WrestleMania fluffy is well-paid fluffy in front of like 50, 60,000 people on your biggest night of the year. And I think he deserves a minimum of that.
Yeah. I don't know who it is, but I'd use now to WrestleMania to reestablish L.A. Knight.
Yeah.
Who's, as I've mentioned many a time before, very much over in the What Culture office. We loved him in his NXT days. I think he's hit the ground running. in WWE. You look at the reactions that he's got and the buzz that there is around him and the fact that he's kind of got away from a Bray Wyatt feud, no less, without too much on him, if we're honest.
Well, he's got more than, say, like a Seth Rollins who was WWE champion. Like, that's incredible when you think... On this... I don't know if this is a game. I don't know if we need to fire Tamina up or not. But can you, just out of thin air, pull me a babyface from the SmackDown roster? Anyone you like that isn't, otherwise hasn't got loads going on. Just a singles babyface.
Dang, that doesn't work. They're tag team champions. I was looking at Kofi and Xavier there. Drew's going to do Ricochet.
Braun. They're probably going to be in tag stuff. Got to be one. There's got to be one. There's got to be a singles babyface kicking around that roster somewhere.
It doesn't, their roster
doesn't look obviously involved. This is going somewhere, I promise.
Yeah. Because, well, I think I was going to suggest, whilst I kill time, open up the WWE.com roster page, is you do something to reestablish him between now and WrestleMania. Just shut your eyes for me for a second.
Eyes closed.
Picture, maybe not immediately afterwards, because we've said what happens in the immediate aftermath of WrestleMania. But regardless, disregard even the match. Think of the promos between L.A. Knight and New World Champion Cody Rhodes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'd have some of that, like. Oh, yeah, I'd go for that. A good, like, TV title program or feud or something like that.
Madcap Moss.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Madcap Moss. Madcap Moss, looking for something to do, has a little feud with L.A. Knight. Like kind of recovery stuff. The matches aren't that much to write home about, but it's recovery TV. And they kind of... LA Knight's a dickhead, but he knows that he's not met his match, but he's like, you know what? You're not so bad. Handshake, respect, all that kind of thing. And situational babyface benefit of this match at WrestleMania, six-man tag, LA Knight, Madcap Moss, and Chad Gable versus the new trifecta of Maximum Male Models.
Oh, my God.
If you're not, if you haven't watched Monday Night Raw... Marseille, Mansoir, and Otis.
Or, just putting this out there, and this may sound like a demotion. Mm-hmm. For me, it isn't, though. The host of WrestleMania.
LA Knight 1, LA Knight 2.
Yeah!
That is it. That is it. You've done it again.
Hey, just call me butter, baby. I'm on a roll.
We need to be filling the studio with soup. There's so many rolls right now. Like, that. I'd love a studio full of soup.
Oh. What flavour are you going for?
Oh, don't make me choose. I like big soup, beef and vegetable.
Nice, good choice.
I like big soup, chicken and vegetable. I like Asda, plastic pot, leek and potato. I love a kicky chili tomato and herb. You know, like ones that have got like, if you were making it at home, one of the few things I can make soup, more pepper than you realistically need, but you've done it now.
Yeah.
Like I like it when you can like get a shop bought one of them, because I would always bother buy Campbell's cream of tomato, but underwater it. So it comes out gloopy and it's like, basically like a starter course at a wedding. Hotel wedding soup, I think, is of an excellent standard. I like, what's that one? It's got cheese in it. Broccoli and Stilton.
Oh, yeah.
Again, like if ideally with like lots and lots of pepper, because then you get like a kicky flavour alongside with it. I'm a soup guy.
I think this is the podcast we submit for the awards, because think of the ground that we've covered on this.
Yeah.
Can anyone else execute those turns?
I don't think so. Sidgwick, I'm going to go on a limb here. I think Sidgwick might be the better cook out of the Dudleys.
I've got a feeling, yeah.
Yeah, I had a gut feeling. Very literally in my case. It's frigging pushing at the desk as I talk, right? However, I can do you a gourmet three-course meal out of food that is exclusively in bowls. Permit me to start?
Go on.
Starter.
Yeah.
Soup. Any ones I've just named. Ideally one that I can pour out of a tin and put in the microwave, but main. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Those hot dogs you get in a vacuum wrap plastic pack, warm them in a bowl, put them in a bun. Bowl. That counts. I can actually make a pretty good curry, to be honest. But like, well, it's funny. For dessert, cereal. For cereal is always the best when you're not supposed to be having it. I think I've made my stance on that very clear over the years.
Oh,
completed it.
There you go.
Fine dining. Check. Fine dining. Great booking.
One final question. It's just a yes or no question for now, because I feel like this is a great topic for future SmackDown previews and reviews. Nia Jax showing up tonight?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Right, well, let us know your thoughts ahead of SmackDown tonight on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there. You can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett on Twitter at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE, as I said. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Myself and Sidgwick will be here a little bit later on to preview this UMP, baby. And you've got WrestleCulture coming your way with a hashtag Bloody Good Quiz and some later news this afternoon.
Ooh.
Coming your way with a What Culture exclusive. That's all I'm allowed to say for now. What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from to get those daily wrestling podcasts. But for now, this has been the SmackDown preview. Me and Hamflett, of course, will be back to review SmackDown on Monday. My thanks to Hamflett. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.